Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Brought to you by Baptist Health and by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now.
Welcome in. J.P. Shadrick with you. Jaguars Thursday. We'll hear from Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli up in Detroit. The Jags and the Lions coming up tomorrow night at 7:30 at Ford Field. Pre-game coverage here locally begins at 4:30, and then the network coverage at 6:30. We'll lots to get to tonight. We'll break down what's happened for the Jaguars this week. The quarterback situation, you just heard from Gus Bradley on his weekly radio show, what he expects to see from the quarterbacks, maybe a quarter and a half for Chad Henne, and then a quarter or so for Blake Bortles, and then Ricky Stanzi will be the third quarterback in for the Jags tomorrow night. Big test for the offensive line this week, too, against a very good Lions defensive front. Ziggy Ansah will likely get his first preseason work. C.J. Mosley, former Jaguar, has jumped ahead of Nick Fairley in the depth chart for the Lions in the interior, of course, and Ndamukong Suh is there, too, with an offensive line for the Jags that still has some question marks on the interior. Jock McClendon will start at center. You'll see Mike Brewster. You'll probably see Luke Boyko in this game, too, coming off an ankle injury last week in Chicago. So all those guys could get some time at center. Linder at right guard. They might rotate that as well. But in general, the starters will go a little bit longer tomorrow night. So we will visit with Loggeman and Baselli coming up about all the happenings this week for the Jaguars. In fact, let's go to the phone line now, and let's go to Motown and welcome in Jaguars Radio Network analyst Jeff Loggeman. Jeff, good evening. How are you?
How you doing, bud?
Hey, Jeff, you're there. There you are.
There we go.
Hey.
What's up, J.P. Shadwick?
How was the trip to Detroit today?
It was good. I actually watched Captain America Winter Soldier on the way here to Detroit, which was a nice, entertaining movie. And then me and Joe Fortunato teamed up to stomp Tiger Woods, actually Sunday Tiger, on the little video game.
Wow, that's no studying for the game, none of that. It's a Captain America and a video game.
Well, you got to remember, we had you know, the team had an extra day this week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, much like Gus Bradley talked about, you know, because you played last week on a Thursday night, this week it's a Friday night, so you've got an extra day in the week. So, I mean, as far as preparation-wise, I mean, shoot, I was in there watching film after about 2 hours of sleep last week from the trip back from Chicago.
Yes,
in there, 2 hours of sleep, busting film out for the Chicago game to do some TV show, and then was right into the Detroit prep stuff, you know, first part of the week. So, you know, hey, I'm ready to rock.
Jeff Loggeman is with us from Detroit. Just watched the video on Jaguars.com, the on-the-road video that Patrick Kavanaugh and Dave DeCandis put together, and Brian Sexton and you at the airport there. Of course, the first topic, the only topic, you know, at least nationally, is the quarterback situation. Chad Henne's going to go a quarter and a half or so, Gus Bradley just said on his weekly show, and then Blake Bortles will get about a quarter. That's subject to change, of course, but what does Blake Bortles need to prove this week? Does he have anything to prove, or just go play well and play in some different situations moving forward?
Well, I think for him, it's just, you know, continue to take steps, you know, in his progression. And Gus Bradley's got a great term and quote that he always uses. The, you know, three most dangerous words in anything is "I got it."
Yeah.
You know, and Blake's only played two games, and the two games that he's played, the defenses that he's faced have been very basic. Lovie Smith plays just a plain cover two shell with nothing fancy. Mel Tucker in Chicago runs a lot of straight cover two on obvious passing downs. Plays single high safety on the early down, so. So Blake hasn't seen a lot of what I call quarters coverage or 50-cent quarter-quarter coverage, which is the teams use all kinds of different coverages and then blitz packages. Blake hasn't seen a lot of that.
Yeah.
And I think this game tomorrow night against the Lions is going to be another step in his progression, because the Detroit Lions run a few more intricate coverages. You know, their defensive coordinator came over from Baltimore Ravens, so they got some principles from the Ravens, but they also kept some principles from the Detroit Lions, but the coverages are very different than what they saw over the last 2 weeks, and I think that's going to be the greatest benefit to Blake, and then also the pressure packages, which I don't question him in pressure packages, because I think that's where he's going to excel at because of his outstanding pocket presence and his accuracy throwing on the run. So I'm looking forward to watching him compete.
At least the what little we've seen of him, he does have kind of a sixth sense in that pocket. He's able to kind of float and move, at least so far, in the little we've seen him under pressure. And you're right, this defensive front for the Lions is pretty strong, especially with Anza getting his first action this week.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching him because, you know, last year prior to the draft, I really watched a lot of film on him and just thought he was just a tremendous athlete. And he's coming back from shoulder surgery. You know, he led every NFL rookie in sacks last year with 8. You know, so that's a real good test for Luke Jokel, you know, a week after having faced Jared Allen. And so on the other side, you got Johnson. I believe it's Jones on the other side, you know, accomplished player, veteran guy for Cameron Bradfield, you know, who's going to be subbing in for the injured Austin Pasdor for a while. But, man, you know, and I know that everybody wants to talk about the quarterbacks. And, look, I'm just like everybody else. I want to see how Blake Bortles performs against this Detroit defense. But, man, really, the biggest story for this football team tomorrow, in my opinion, is going to be what's happening at the interior of the offensive line.
No doubt about that, because it all starts there or ends there, right?
Well, it starts there, it ends there, but most importantly, you know, this game is not boding well for Mike Brewster. You know, on the road with the Jaguars, Brian asked me that, you know, things might not be looking good for Mike Brewster, and I mean, that's exactly right, because, you know, most coaches will play their starters in the third preseason game. Well, I don't think that Brewster is going to start tomorrow, you know, and that's kind of odd, you know, and I've had the belief that I think Mike Brewster, if he was going to make the team, he'd have to make it as a starter.
Yeah.
Because and I'm not trying to say that because that's my opinion. I'm just trying to reflect my opinion on what I'm seeing the coaches do with the players, because Mike Brewster has not played left guard in a game. Mike Brewster has not played right guard in a game. And I'm talking about this preseason.
Yes.
You know, you're seeing him focus in solely at center. So it makes me believe that if he's going to make this team with a young Luke Bawanko and a Brandon Linder and a Jacques McClendon, that if he's going to make this team, he's got to be the starting center. And if he's not the starting center, then he may not make the team.
You know, obviously, Jeff Logman with us from Detroit. This is Jaguars Thursday. Glad you're with us tonight. It was obviously a point in the offseason. They went after Mac, you know, with the Browns. Didn't get him. So they kind of saw something coming here that's down the pike that they needed to take care of. And did they take care of it in the draft? Maybe they'll find out later with Bawanko. But there was obviously a situation throughout this whole offseason they saw kind of coming ahead. It had to be, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, and I think that, you know, that's one of the reasons why that they really went out and targeted Bawanko. It's also kind of why they targeted Linder, because they knew that he had played center a couple years ago, and that he'd also played it in high school, even though the Al Bundy effect doesn't impact the NFL all that much. They go all the way back to the high school days. But, I mean, he's done it before. And, you know, if you looked at the film from last week and you evaluated the three guys that played center last week, which were Brewster and Bawanko and then Linder, if you had to rank them, I mean, as far as just sheer play, I think Linder would probably be first, just because his physical play was very strong at center. Bawanko's was very good, and he's very athletic, and I would rank Brewster as the third best performance at center from last week's game.
Oh, wow.
So, and now we're going to get to see Jacques McClendon. I'm looking forward to him. He's got very good short area strength, or I like to call him kind of like the, you know, in short area, a guy can generate a lot of power in 6 inches and can withstand it. But, I mean, this is a great test for them tomorrow night, because, you know, you're talking about a boy named Sue and Ndamukong Suh, and also Nick Fairley and C.J. Mosley. C.J. Mosley, haven't played for the Jaguars, very good defensive tackle, and Nick Fairley's a guy that just got demoted and is going to be probably anxious to reclaim his starting job over C.J. Mosley tomorrow night. So, I mean, boy, talk about a perfect setup to evaluate, you know, the center position. This is it. I mean, this is set up perfectly. And I hope that we get to see, you know, Luke Bawanko and also Eric Linder at right guard. because I want to really take a look at Leonard Rygar, because he's, Ndamukong Suh does not flip sides.
Mm-hmm.
He is a left defensive tackle. So Brandon Linder is going to face Ndamukong Suh. That is a great matchup. Get your binoculars out for the TV set and watch that matchup.
Have at it, rookie. Good luck with that one. That should be a good one. Jaguars Thursday. Jeff Logman joining us over the phone line tonight from Detroit, Michigan. A couple of players back on the field, of course. Cecil Shorts the third. He'll get about 15 plays in the game. Dakota Watson, though, is back too. And you know, you talk to both of those guys, and they're both saying, "Hey, we could have been back 2-3 weeks ago." That's not how it works, guys. It's a process, of course. But what kind of impact can Cecil make tomorrow night, and would it be noticeable the first few plays in?
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's, you know, so I think Cecil admitted it this week. He was rusty and trying to work his way back. But you know, I don't worry about Cecil. I mean, he's a guy that's got a great work ethic. He'll get himself ready, provided that he's healthy. So I don't really worry about him from that standpoint. Now, and we've got a body of work on Cecil. I mean, we know what he can do.
That's
we've
true.
Seen it.
That's right.
Now, Dakota Watson's a little different. You know, he's a guy that was signed in free agency, watched the film on him, was really excited about what I saw on film, because I think he's got great speed, he's got some natural instincts, and he's got some ability to rush the passer, which is kind of what they want that auto position to do occasionally. So, and I made this statement back in the springtime, and I said, you know, the one that nobody's really talking about that might end up being the long-term best signing of all is Dakota Watson. And how many times have you seen named players get signed in free agency where, you know, sometimes they work out and sometimes they don't? And then usually the ones that have the biggest impact are the ones that come in with little or no fanfare. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what the category is that I put Dakota Watson in. Now, we haven't seen him, and so that's why I'm saying I'm anxious to see him, because from what I saw on film, it looked great. But now I want to see it with my own eyes, with him wearing a Jaguars uniform, to start to see some of the plays that got me excited watching it on film.
And, Jeff, of course, Leroy Reynolds has been playing that auto spot since Watson's been down and has been moved up to the top of the quote-unquote depth chart 2 weeks into the preseason. And Watson's got to kind of earn that job back. It's not going to be given to him, right? I mean, Reynolds is playing pretty well.
And I think that's good. I mean, you know, make competition wherever you can make it. But I think ultimately, Leroy Reynolds is better suited to playing the other two linebacker spots.
Okay.
Which is, you know, the Mike position, which is what Paul Posluszny plays, or the Will position, which is what Geno Hayes plays. So I think he's better suited to one of those two. You know, but look, it's good that Leroy Reynolds had an opportunity to get snaps, because, you know, when an injury happens, Leroy may end up being the first one inserted, you know,
right.
You know, even ahead of maybe a Telvin Smith, because they are really letting Telvin focus in as the nickel backer position. You know, it's good. I mean, competition never hurts.
Jeff Logman with us from Detroit. This is Jaguars Thursday. Tony Boselli coming up a little bit later. Last week, Jeff, the pass rush was not there in Chicago, as it was, of course, in week one. The Tampa situation at guard was not ideal for the Bucs. The Jags exploited that like they should have and played well early in that game. But Cutler had a lot of time last week. How is that going to work this week? Are those guys going to get back on track and get in the backfield more?
It's funny you say that. You know, after the game last week, you know, being that it was an ESPN game, you know, the first week, you know, the Jaguars defense looked pretty good. I was talking to my dad about it, and, you know, I was telling Dad, I said, boy, they really had some nice play by the defensive front. Pass rush looked good. You know, so my dad flips on ESPN looking forward to watch the Jaguars against the Bears, and I get a text from him after the game, and he said some positive things, and he, you know, about the team and the performance, but, you know, following the but was, the pass rush sucked. I'm chuckling. You know, the old armchair defensive coordinator pops his comment on the Jaguars pass rush. But look, last week, a lot of people didn't know this, but Chris Clemens had a uniform violation, so they took him out of the game until he got it corrected. I think that interrupted the flow a little bit. And then give the Chicago Bears credit. I mean, a couple years ago, the Chicago Bears were considered the laughingstock of the offensive lines in the National Football League. and they've added some really good players. I mean, they got Bushrod, left tackle, who's got it's been to a couple Pro Bowls. They got Howie Long's son playing the right guard spot, who might be the best guard in football, yeah. Veteran guy at center. You know, so, I mean, they have improved their offensive line, and I give them credit. And then also, Jay Cutler does a really good job of getting the ball out, but I don't think it was so much that as it was the Chicago Bears' offensive line playing well. But then also, JP, last week, that playing surface in Chicago, it was the cut of the grass was long.
Yes.
And then in the evening when the humidity crept up, did you notice how guys were slipping and sliding everywhere?
That's right.
You could tell that it affected the defensive line as well. But I will say I'm looking forward to this matchup tomorrow with them against that offensive line of Detroit because, you know, Detroit's got some pretty good players up front. You know, last year Jay Cutler threw for, you know, what was it, 4,500 yards
offensive
or something
offensive record for the Bears. Yeah, Bears franchise
yeah,
record.
Yeah, and I think they only gave or only allowed like 22 sacks as an offensive line, which is that's a pretty good accomplishment considering you're throwing the ball as much as the Detroit Lions did.
Sure. Jeff, then there's a smart man in the hill country of Texas that'll be watching close this week, I'm sure.
Yeah. Pops will be breaking it down.
Jeff Logman with us. Final couple of minutes with you, Jeff. You know, speaking of Clemens, the uniform violation, I didn't realize they could pull you off the field for one of those.
Yeah, that's changed a little bit now. Last year they made the big point of emphasis that, you know, you had to have all the pads in.
Like the thigh pads and all that, right.
You had to have knee pads and that. You have to have those, the pants and the knee pads covering the body part. So you can't have a thigh pad that's at the upper thigh and then a knee pad that is three quarters of the way down your thigh. You know, it has to be on your knee.
Right.
You know, and Clemens, you know, he's a veteran guy. He's been doing it a certain way for a long time. And, you know, so now he's got to adjust. He's got to adjust to the rules. And he will. You know, I'm not worried about him. I mean, the thing I'm most excited about him is not his pants, but the way he actually improves his defensive front. He's still got a lot of juice left in the tank.
Yeah, 11th year guy who was banged up a lot last year, but boy, the years before that were really exceptional in this league.
And he's light. You know, it's kind of surprising. I thought that he would be, you know, a 260 pound kind of guy, and I think he's probably in the mid 250s, and from talking to Todd Walsh, he feels that Clem, who they call him Clem, he's had his best years when he was playing in the low 250s. But when you watch him play in Seattle for the last couple years, and he was playing at that 251, 255 range, he did not look light. You know, he plays strong, and he plays bigger than 250, and that's a good thing.
Jeff, what's on tap in Detroit tonight?
You know, JP, we're staying at a Westin hotel that's attached to the airport. The airport actually sits between Ann Arbor and Detroit.
Yes, it does.
I'm thinking that I've got a couple options. I can go to one of the massive chain stores at the terminal of the airport here, restaurants, or I can go to the hotel restaurant and grab a bite to eat and find a place to have a cold drink. So I think I'm going to do that.
So no Ann Arbor or no downtown casinos?
No, I don't think so. I had a really good time in Chicago last week. Me and Mike Perkins went and ate a steak at Gibson Steakhouse, which for those that know Chicago, it's one of the best steakhouses in Chicago, and it was fantastic. Had a great bottle of wine, and appetizers were fantastic. So I busted my budget a little bit in Chicago last week, so I'm going to be kind of skimping it a little bit tonight, I think.
Jeff Logman from Detroit, Michigan. He'll have the call tomorrow night for the Jags and the Lions. Jeff, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks.
JP, enjoyed it, buddy. See you.
Jeff Logman joining us on Jaguars Thursday, and this portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Fanatics.com. When we return, Tony Boselli will chime in from Detroit. Lots to talk about on the offensive line. A little later we might take your calls too. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. We'll get a preview of the Lions from Jim Brandstatter, a preview of the interview that'll run tomorrow. Lots coming up. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio. Want to know what's going on within the Jacksonville Transportation Authority? The award-winning Making Moves television program is in its sixth season of being North Florida's premier source for transportation news. For airtimes and more, visit jtafla.com. Jaguars Thursday continues. JP Shadrick with you. We just heard from Jeff Lagerman in Detroit. Ahead of tomorrow night's game, the Lions and the Jags in preseason week three. Tony Boselli coming up. One note, of course, the Jags finish out the preseason Thursday, a week from tonight here at Everbank Field. It is a 6 o'clock kickoff, perfect time for families to make it out. They'll have the video encore of the Jacksonville in motion video during the game, I believe at halftime, between the Falcons and the Jags. Pre-game about 5 o'clock, the band Be Easy will perform in the fan entertainment zone, so plenty to look forward to Thursday night. Go to Jaguars.com for tickets for the Falcons and the Jags, the final preseason tune-up before the 2014 regular season. Let's go back to Detroit and welcome in Pride of the Jaguars left tackle Tony Boselli. Hi, Tony.
Hey, JP. Hey, did you say Be Easy's flying Thursday night?
That's what I said. About 5 o'clock, yeah.
You know, that's the band that played at our big fundraiser, The Cut, at the Players this year. They are awesome. They are a great band.
What do they play, Tony?
Everything. I mean, they're they're a cover band on steroids. I mean, I'm talking, they play anything you want, and they play it really well.
All right. We'll look forward to that because we'll be out by there for the countdown to kickoff. Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, you might get me sitting out there kind of hanging out a little bit, listening to those guys play. They're great.
Nice. Of course, you're in Detroit. Do you have any memories of Detroit that stand out? I mean, you didn't play the Lions,
I
guess.
I do.
Like
it's
what?
A very bad memory, JP.
Oh, no.
1995, we were an expansion team. We were not very good at all. The Lions were, you know, they were good. They had a bunch of good players. The leader of those, Barry Sanders.
I've heard of him.
And we came up here, and we had Mark Brunell was hurt, so we had the backup quarterback in, and we were playing, and it was not close from the beginning. And I'll never forget, I think it was sometime late third quarter, early fourth quarter, they were beating us 40-0, something ridiculous. And just, we couldn't stop them. We couldn't move the ball. They drove it down to like the 5-yard line, and three or four knees and just didn't try to score and gave us the ball back because they felt sorry for us. I'm not making that up.
That's,
it was terrible.
In an NFL game. Wow.
He was like, I thought I was back in like Pop Warner, and like, you know, here's the little fat kid we feel sorry for, so we'll let him do something.
I think I remember that kind of.
We were the little fat guy.
I remember that kind of situation in an Oklahoma A&M game a few years ago when Franchione was the coach at A&M, and Oklahoma was just killing. It was like 60-0 in the third quarter, and they started taking a knee at the goal line in the third quarter. But
yeah.
I never would have thought that in an NFL game. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it happened, JP. It did. I was there for it. Okay. Thanks for bringing it up.
Yeah, well, you're welcome. Tony Boselli with us in Detroit. Of course, offensive line, we heard from Jeff Lagerman earlier. We'll get to the quarterbacks coming up, of course, but offensive line, your expertise, the center and the right guard spot still quite up for grabs, and it's quite a test this week. This defensive line for Detroit is, where do you rate them in the league, or do you rate them that high?
You know, they're good. I mean, they're good, but I'll say, I mean, Gerald McCoy from Tampa is better than Ndamukong Suh, and they've already seen him once.
Really? Okay.
Oh, yeah, I think so. Right now he's playing better football. Now, Ndamukong Suh may be a little better against the run, but as a pass rusher, Gerald McCoy is better. So, I mean, listen, they're a very good unit, and it's going to be a great test. I mean, I think we found our right guard, though. I mean, Brandon Linder is going to be the starting right guard.
Yeah, he's the guy, okay.
Yeah, and he's starting. Now we're just going to figure out who the center is going to be. And I think ultimately some point during the season, it's going to be Luke Boyko, and I wouldn't be surprised if he starts their opening day.
Wow, quick turnaround.
Yeah, he's a good player, and he's got a lot to learn. But I really like him. I think he's going to be a really good player. So, and if he doesn't start, if he doesn't start opening day, then it's going to whoever plays better between Jock McClendon and Mike Brewster. And I think McClendon probably has a little bit of a leg up because he can play guard as well. So he has more versatility than Brewster. So it's a big game for Mike Brewster. He's got to just not worry about it, kind of shut up. You know, try to shut out all the distractions and all the noise and go try to put a really good performance on the field and try to earn a starting job.
And Lagerman had a good point earlier. You know, McClendon's making the start in the third preseason game. That's normally when the starting unit goes, and he's going to go.
Okay, he has the lead right now.
Right.
He has the lead.
Okay. And that's bad news for Brewster.
He's the leader in the clubhouse, but I'll say this. If Blanco wouldn't have got hurt, I think he might have been starting.
Okay. In week three. Gotcha. Tony Maselli with us from Detroit. This is Jaguars Thursday. Glad you're with us tonight. You know, the quarterbacks now. Henny will go a quarter and a half or so. Bortles after that. Stansy's the third guy in, Gus said earlier on his program tonight. Henny, obviously last week the offense moved very well. Scored on the first three drives. Probably could have had another touchdown, but I guess you want to replicate that, right? Was that about as good as you're going to see this offense last week, the first few drives? Or can they be better?
Come on, JP. They can be better. It was the second preseason game. They gotta be more consistent in the red zone. They gotta play better red zone football. And I'd like to see better running game too, more consistent running game. They did some nice things, but you'd like to see a little bit more consistency out of that. And then keep up the good pass blocking. They were very good at pass blocking last week and giving Chad time, and he took advantage of it. So they can get better. Marquise Lee can get better. You know, you're gonna get Cecil Shorts back. That's gonna make you better. You know, Hearns is going to be a better player with more experience. And so, you know, they can get a lot better, and they need to build on what they did in Chicago.
Pass blocking, you mentioned that. I mean, that's something that takes time to kind of grow together, right? And they've done pretty well with that
game.
Early.
Yes, it's a part of the game. They did a good job with it, too.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks a lot.
it takes time when you start seeing a lot of blitzes and stuff, and you're going to see, sure. I mean, Detroit's going to blitz quite a bit. You know, they like to bring pressure, they like to get after it, and it's more of that regular season feel as far as game plan situation. So they're going to get a lot more blitz, and that's where you really got to be on the same page as an offensive line and backs and quarterbacks. You're passing off guys, you're sliding in the right direction, you're working the twist game together. And you know what they've been seeing a lot in the first two preseason games, just one-on-one stuff, and they did a good job. Listen, if you can't win one-on-one, then you can never do the other stuff. And so I thought they played well against Chicago overall. There were some things that they need to clean up a little bit individually, but overall it was a good effort.
Tony Baselli is with us. What is an improved night for Blake Bortles tomorrow night?
What is an improved night?
Yeah, what do you want to see from him tomorrow? Jed Fish said this week that he's got some situations he still has yet to see him in. He needs just a body of work.
Yeah, listen,
gotta build that.
I really want to see from Blake is how he handles the blitz. No, that's what I'm looking forward to, how he handles pressure. And I think he's going to be great at it. And so, listen, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm a Blake Bortles believer. I mean,
okay.
If I could get the Blake Bortles T-shirt, I would. You know, I think he's great. I like everything about him. And I think he's done a great job. And I'll tell you, it was enjoyable tonight, you know, because I'm doing TV this week, JP. I don't know if you know that.
I heard about that, yeah.
I'm doing TV instead of radio. So the bummer about that is that means I have to shave.
That means we have to look at you, too, on TV.
Ooh. Yeah, you got to look at me. That's the downside for the viewing audience. But because of that, you know, I got to talk. We had a little production meeting. I got to talk to both Chad and Blake. And I got to tell you, what great guys, both of them. They're really pleasures to talk with, and the way they're handling the situation, Chad the veteran, Blake the rookie, and talking to them separately, it's not like they planned what they're going to say, but you can tell they're on the same page. And they're different personalities, but they're, you know, this franchise is in a good situation with, you know, right now Chad is a starter and Blake is the backup. And then obviously Blake is the future of the franchise because of, you know, what he's going to be able to do. So I'm looking forward to seeing that because I think Blake's going to do a great job tomorrow night.
Tony Baselli is with us from Detroit. As a player, a starter going into this game, you know you're going to go longer, but not the whole game, just to kind of get that final dress rehearsal in. But as a player, Tony, I mean, do you have the mindset of, hey, let's just get our work done and get out of here? Or what this preseason
game?
That's
a great question, JP. And we were talking to Gus about that tonight, and I always thought it was so hard as a player. And you know, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but as a player, I hated preseason from the standpoint is because I was like, oh gosh, okay. You know, there's not, you know, you're playing. I took the mentality I was playing. I wanted to go play hard, and I played hard because I didn't want to look stupid or get hurt or get anyone else hurt. But that whole, you know, competing to win a game and battling for four quarters and going out there is such a different mindset than going, okay, I'm going to play 15 plays or I'm going to play three quarters or, you know, let me get through two quarters and see how we're doing. And so that was always hard for me mentally to prepare. And Gus had a great, you know, the way Gus has handled it's been outstanding. You know, he tries to get the guys to say, don't worry about when you're going to come out. I'll take you out when it's time. And I think that's a good, you know, it's a, if you can do it as a player, it's a good way to approach it, is not worry about when you're coming out. Just go play the game and focus on yourself and, you know, kind of get through one, you know, the old cliche of one play at a time in one series and let the rest take care of itself. And if you can do that, then you, I think, you have a better chance at really playing close to that regular season higher level that you're trying to do this week.
You got to trust the head coach, though, and the coaching staff to be able to play that way, though.
Well, you do have to trust that coach, but, you know, listen, if anyone who's been around this organization, you have JP, I mean, Gus has earned everyone's trust. I mean, the players, I mean, I've been around locker rooms where the, you know, the head coach is not trusted, and around organizations and around, you know, situations. And but Gus Bradley is trusted. I mean, so that's not an issue. I mean, the players can do anything for that guy because the way he handles them and respects them and works them and everything else. And so they trust Gus.
Final couple minutes with you, Tony, on Jaguars Thursday. You know, I was talking with Fred Taylor today for the interview tomorrow on pregame, and we were talking about the idea of getting rookies time with the first unit when they might not be playing in the regular season. And, you know, obviously you started right from the start at left tackle, but for Fred it was a little different situation. He had Stewart ahead of him, and, you know, he said, and we'll hear the interview tomorrow, that Coughlin was not really intrigued with the way he was playing early. But different organizations approach this different ways. A lot of places don't put rookies in with a first team at this time. Is that true, or is this kind of a unique situation?
Yeah, I remember, yeah, you have to earn it. The funniest thing ever was the first, when I got here in Jacksonville, I mean, we were an expansion team, so like I said, we weren't real good.
Right.
And I was the second overall pick, and I come in here, and I was on 13. I mean, Coughlin put me on the third team. And he, all of OTAs, all the way till training camp. I was like on second and third team. Never went with starters once. And I'm like, come on. I mean, what are we doing here? And I just said, whatever. I just went out and did my business and took care of it. But I thought it was funny because everyone does handle it different. And I remember Fred as a rookie. He struggled during camp. You could tell he wasn't real confident. And then we got into the regular season. He got his chance because of an injury, and the rest is history. He was dominant. So, you know, it's good for the young guys to get in there and feel what it's like to be in the huddle with a bunch of veterans and a bunch of guys who've done it, and the guys who are going to do it on Sundays. And so to get in that situation and get on the line of scrimmage and hear the communication and the taste of speed a little bit and the expectations, I think those are all good things for young players. Because sometimes you know, taking nothing away from the second and third team guys, but a lot of times you're all in the same boat. You're all, you know, either fighting for a spot on the team, or you're young, or you're a rookie, and you kind of look at each other and you're trying to figure it out as you go. And that changes when you get into the first team huddle. You got a bunch of, you know, old men and veterans that have done it for a while, and it's good to get a taste of that, and so you learn from it and become a better player because of it.
Final note with you, Tony. What is a successful night in tomorrow night's game for this team overall?
You know, I think just improving, you know, over last week, you see the defense continue to, you know, pressure the quarterback and be great against the run like they have. And, you know, I'd like to see a couple turnovers. If you have the first group out there for almost three quarters, hopefully you can get a couple turnovers. And offensively, you know, let's see how quickly we can get into that fast-paced offense that Jed wants to run and how many series we can stay in it. Because if we're, you know, if they're in the hurry up and the fast pace, that means they're getting first downs. And then finish drives is the last thing I want to see. I want to see touchdowns, not field goals.
Tony, have a great night in Detroit tonight. Well, you got any plans?
Yes. So, what you got? You know, I'm just meeting Mr. Frangie, but I just like to make sure, you know, you can listen to the radio every other week besides this week, and make sure you watch the TV because, you know, it's where you're going to get the best information.
Hey, you were on TV for a while, though. You have a history on TV.
Yeah, but, if you have to choose between listening to me and Logs, I mean, the offensive guys are always smarter than the defensive guys. I mean, so.
Really?
I'll let you choose. I'll let you choose, JP.
Oh, I'll choose when we get you off the air. How about that?
I know. You can't go wrong. You listen to Logs on the radio and catch me, Logs and Frank on the radio, and me and Sammy on the TV. It'll be fun.
That'll be great. Hey, have a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Tony.
See you guys.
Tony Boselli joining us from Detroit, Michigan. He'll have the call on television on Channel 4 tomorrow. Sam Kavaris has the play-by-play there. Nikki Kembleton is on the sidelines for Channel 4. And, of course, here on Jaguars Radio tomorrow, it's Frank Frangie and Jeff Lagerman And Rick Ballew is on the sidelines. 7:30 kick tomorrow night in Detroit. The Lions and the Jags, third of four preseason games. Come protect the bank September 21st. The Jags will face the Colts at 1 o'clock. You got to be here for the amazing home opener and the best game day experience in the National Football League and the world's largest video boards, too. Tickets going fast. Get yours today at Jaguars.com. And remember, also, the final preseason game this coming Thursday, a week from tonight, the Falcons are here at Everbank Field to face the Jags. The Jacksonville in Motion video encore will run during the game. 6 o'clock kick. Great time for families. Come right after work. And the band Be Easy will perform pregame in the fan entertainment zone in the south end zone. Tickets available for that one, too. The final tune-up for the Jags. The Jags do have, and every team in the league has, to trim the rosters down after this game to 75. And then, of course, that final preseason game is normally where you have a lot of the guys who are on the bubble get a lot of time in that game to really pare it down before going down to 53. The league has added two practice squad spots this year, so there'll be a couple of extra guys on the practice squad, too. So a lot to be determined in the last 2 weeks for this Jaguars roster. Lots to get to on Jaguars Thursday. We'll open up the phone lines. Yes, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. We'll also hear from Jim Brandstatter, the radio analyst for the Lions, a preview of what he'll tell us tomorrow in Jaguars pregame, and a little preview of Fred Taylor, his conversation for the pregame show tomorrow as well. Lots to get to on Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio. Visit Jaguars.com and check out Inside the Jaguars for the latest Jags news. Inside the Jags rolling along in the preseason, of course. Also, some other content on the website. Look for the Sexton Spotlight with Roy Miller. And 5 good minutes with Toby Gerhardt. Brian Sexton contributing those. Also, the latest from Detroit after the team landed today. That's up right now. Remember that the Jaguars are home Thursday, a week from tonight, against the Atlanta Falcons in the final preseason game. That Jacksonville in Motion video is the one on the scoreboard unveiling. It will be run again during the game, a 6 o'clock kick. The fan cave in the south end zone is up and running. Air conditioner, leather chairs, out-of-town games, Xbox can be played. A lot going on there. The north deck, a lot of folks don't realize this is open to the public. Yes, the cabanas are closed. They're private. The pools and all that. But in the middle, there is a bar that's open to the public. The stairwells are right behind section 124, and it's a great view of the game and the boards and the DJ and all that's going on there. So a week from tonight, Jags, Falcons, and of course they'll open up the regular season home schedule the 21st of September, a divisional game against the Indianapolis Colts. Glad you're back with us. This is Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick with you. We just heard from Jeff Loggeman earlier in Detroit. Jaguars radio analyst Antony Baselli, who is normally on radio, but this week he'll have the call on Channel 4 with Sam Kavaris on the local coverage of the game on television. Of course, coming up tomorrow on the Public's Tailgate Show, we'll go on the air at 4:30 locally, 6:30 on the network with Countdown to Kickoff, and get you ready for tomorrow night's game against the Detroit Lions. You know, each week on the Public's Tailgate Show, we try to get to a member of the opposing team's media. We call it Behind Enemy Lines. And this week, we'll have a sneak preview tonight. How about that? We won't play the whole thing, but we had a chance this week to visit with Jim Brandstatter. He's a former Michigan offensive lineman for the Wolverines, late 60s, played with Deerdorf at Michigan. Now in his 28th season as analyst on the Lions Radio Network, and he's been on the Michigan broadcast since 79, and he just took over the Michigan play-by-play job this year, inducted into the Michigan Sports Hall of Fame this year as well. We spoke with Jim Brandstatter a little earlier this week for a full interview that will run tomorrow on the Public's Tailgate Show, a little bit of a preview of the Detroit Lions.
Let's start on offense. Matt Stafford, the numbers are good early in the preseason, but how has he handled the transition with a new offensive look?
He's handled it really well. They brought in Lombardi from New Orleans to be the new offensive coordinator. The one thing that he has done is he's handled quarterbacks like Drew Brees, and Jim Caldwell has dealt with quarterbacks like Joe Flacco and Peyton Manning. And that automatically gives them big-time credibility, and Matthew has really taken to that. And he's been listening. He's gone over the playbook, and he understands that. He knows the one thing that's kept him from being, quote-unquote, elite. He's put up great numbers, but he's turned the ball over. And that has been their focus this year, is make the right read, don't throw into trouble, and don't turn the ball over. And that's really been the big difference for him this season. And they've got a lot of weapons offensively. They added Eric Ebron in the draft, Golden Tate in free agency. Calvin Johnson will be back tonight, play his first bit in the preseason. So Lions should be on all eight cylinders tonight offensively.
Jim Brandstetter is with us from the Lions Radio Network. Speaking of Calvin Johnson, he had, what, the finger surgery last year. He's going to play with a splint tonight. But they're planning on moving him around in the offense a little bit.
Yeah, what they want to do is find a matchup that they can exploit. Like everybody in this league does, and you know it. If you got a matchup that, you know, the other guys are, you know, vulnerable, you're going to find that matchup wherever you can. And they figure if they can move Calvin either in motion, into a slot, and get that matchup, then basically they win, because Calvin's the best receiver in the game. And if they get the matchup they like, they're going to try to get it to that point. Same thing they did really in New Orleans with Jimmy Graham.
Let's move to defense. A lot of former Jaguars on this Lions team, it seems like, Jim.
I know, yeah. As a matter of fact, C.J. Mosley has been creating kind of a stir. He's getting the start over Nick Fairley, who was a number one draft pick of the Lions, and he's going to play next to Ndamukong Suh. That's been one of the ongoing soap operas, if you will, this preseason, that Nick has kind of been a little bit overweight and hasn't been motivated well enough, and they're trying to get him motivated, and here you go. You got T.J. Mosley playing inside next to Ndamukong Suh, and Rasheem Mathis is probably, I would say right now, with the loss of Chris Houston, the Lions' number one corner.
There's Jim Brandstetter, Lions radio analyst, longtime Michigan broadcaster, too, and he'll have some thoughts tomorrow on the Public's Tailgate Show, 4:30 start. He'll have some thoughts about Chad Henne and Denard Robinson, too, has certainly knowledge of their history at the University of Michigan there in Ann Arbor, so we'll hear from him coming up. He mentioned a lot, talked about some of the former Jaguars that are on the Lions. There are a few, plenty of familiar faces. Rasheem Mathis, of course, at cornerback there. Montel Owens, fullback, a great special teamer here, Pro Bowl special teamer with the Jags, is with the Lions. C.J. Mosley, as you heard Brandstetter say, has been moved up to number one on the depth chart at tackle above Nick Fairley. Mosley, now in his, I believe, his 10th year in the league, a journeyman a bit. He's been with the Jags through 2012 for a few seasons. Mosley, though, is the top one of the top tackles there on the defensive line. Julian Stanford, you might remember that name, linebacker, young guy a couple years ago. He's with the Lions. Drayton Florence, the cornerback. Safety Don Carey, also with the Lions. And then you go to the coaches. Robert Prince, an assistant wide receivers coach with the Jags, 07 and 08. He's now the wide receivers coach for the Lions. But he also coached with Gus Bradley at Fort Lewis College in the mid-90s, 94 and 95, so a union there. Defensive back coach Tony Oden is with the Lions now. He was with the Jags in 2012. John Bonamago, special teams coordinator in 2012 with the Lions now. And assistant offensive line coach Bobby Johnson with the Lions. He was with the Jags in 2012 as the tight ends coach. So plenty of connections between these two franchises, both between the Lions and on the sideline too. And we'll get to all that tomorrow night. A 7:30 kick at Ford Field in Detroit. We'll have countdown to kickoff on the Jaguars Radio Network at 6:30. And we have a weekly visit with Pride of the Jaguars running back Fred Taylor. You'll hear the full interview with Fred tomorrow. But he had some thoughts about the reasoning for playing rookies with first-teamers in camp and game action and why it's very important.
No, they're trying to figure out. They're trying to create some depth. You know, injuries happen. And I think with that mindset, it's going to make the ball club a much better ball club throughout the length of the season. Very long season. Anything can happen. Gus, his mindset is, let's make sure everyone is ready. Let's see how these guys react in pressure situations. So I really like this mindset. Blake, as you mentioned, he's going to have an opportunity to play with the ones. He's going to see more complex defenses, possibly even more blitzes. And he will definitely have an opportunity to react to pressure situations going in halftime, possibly coming out halftime, and you know just getting a real solid feel, and that'll also increase his confidence.
There's Fred Taylor. Listen to that full interview tomorrow night on Countdown to Kickoff, 6:30 start on the Jaguars Radio Network. He'll also share that story about what Tom Coughlin told him during his rookie preseason. You don't want to miss that. Basile alluded to that a little bit earlier.
Lots to get to still. One final segment remaining on Jaguars Thursday. Go long in the fuel-efficient Ford Fusion. See your Southern Ford dealer today. Proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. When we come back, we'll take a quick look around the National Football League. Some major stories in the division, in fact, in Houston and Indy. We'll get to that. There is one game active in the league tonight. We'll catch you up on the Steelers and the Eagles and close it out. All that coming up next, Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio. Final segment of Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick with you in the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. The Jaguars and the Lions coming up tomorrow night, 7:30 kickoff at Ford Field. We'll go on the air at 4:30 with the Public's Tailgate Show, and then 6:30 start with Countdown to Kickoff on the Jaguars Radio Network. Let's take a quick look around the National Football League. A couple of stories in the division. Houston, Jadeveon Clowney left Wednesday's practice a little early, went to the medical tent, but Bill O'Brien would not elaborate on any injury. Said he's fine. That's all he said. And no decision on if he'll play against the Broncos on Saturday. They have some other players that are kind of in question playing too, including Foster and Johnson. They got to make some decisions on those guys coming up before Saturday's game. In Indianapolis, owner Jim Irsay's trial has been moved. It was coming up on the 28th, a week from today. It has been moved to October 30th, a driving while intoxicated charge, controlled substances in his body as well, the two charges. So the move to October 30th for the actual trial, we'll see if the league's possible any kind of situation from the league happens before that. We'll see what Roger Goodell has in mind there. Going out to San Francisco, where the 49ers are already replacing sod in their new stadium. They've only had three events at Levi's Stadium already. A concert, a soccer match, and one NFL game. And Jim Harbaugh pulled off his team off the field during a public practice at the stadium because the field was so bad. A couple of guys came up limping after plays. He said, hey, we're done. We're moving practice somewhere else. So there's helicopter footage in the Bay Area of them taking the sod off of the field after three events there. They have a lot coming up, too. They had to put new sod out in the middle of the field, basically from, I guess if you've seen the practice field, almost red line to red line. Not, maybe the numbers, just inside the numbers. Not quite the red line. It's a little too wide. But numbers to numbers from goal line to goal line they've replaced. They've got the Chargers game coming up. Two high school games, too. There's a Mexico-Chile soccer match. And then they have, a couple weeks into the regular season, the Bears come down for the home opener. So not a lot of time for the new grass to grow either there. Tomorrow night, of course, 7:30 kickoff, Jaguars and Lions at Ford Field. We'll have the coverage right here. Big test for this Jaguars, certainly the offensive line against a very good defensive front for the Lions. Ziggy Ansah will get his first time at end for the Lions. C.J. Mosley starting over Nick Fairley. But Fairley, of course, will get some time in the game. He's had some weight issues there. So Mosley moved up in the depth chart. Ndamukong Suh is ready to roll as well. Good test for the Jaguars interior. Sounds like Jock McLennan will make the start. You'll see some Mike Brewster. You'll see some Luke Bowenko, who's back from his ankle injury last week in Chicago. Not as bad as originally looked like in the game last week. So there's a little more rumbling now for Bowenko. We'll see how that goes moving forward. It's a huge game for Mike Brewster and his future with the Jags. He's got to perform well and take that job because it was his job in the preseason and the offseason program. They said, yes, Brewster's the guy. Brewster's the starting center in this, and he's going to be the top guy on the depth chart. Then all of a sudden, once camp started, there's more of a competition, and we'll see how that goes. Sounds like Linder's kind of the guy at right guard, at least to begin the game. And, of course, quarterbacks. Chad Henne will make the start. Blake Bortles will get about a quarter in the game. So a lot to look forward to tomorrow night in Detroit. We'll be on air again at 4:30 with the Public's Tailgate Show. Network coverage begins with Countdown to Kickoff at 6:30. So no Jaguars Thursday next week, and no Gus Bradley Show next week either. So only game coverage tomorrow. We'll be back in 2 weeks with those programs before the regular season begins. One game in the league tonight, by the way. The Eagles just had a touchdown. Foles to McCoy, 22 yards. They lead the Steelers. The extra point pending midway through the first quarter. Jaguars manager of radio is Joe Fortunato. Our thanks to Linda Fortunato producing this show tonight, and Ryan Bonifant back in the studio For Tony Boselli and Jeff Lagerman, this is J.P. Shadrick. That's it for tonight. Jaguars-Lions tomorrow night. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.